Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a big win for the Tennessee Vols over the weekend against Missouri. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7. Wes, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing all right. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Wes, I thought Tennessee had a good chance to win this game against Missouri based on just this gut feeling that I had last week. I did not anticipate 62 being hung up by Josh Heupel and this offense. How surprising was that to you, and did that tell you more about this Tennessee offense or maybe that Missouri defense?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I mean, I'm someone who picked Missouri to win the game by a couple points, so you know that ought to tell you how surprised I was. I mean, I said going into the game that I thought, you know, the reason I picked Mizzou was that at the end of the day, if the game was going to come down to, you know, to kind of which quarterback, which passing game would you trust more in a situation like that in a close game, well, I'd pick Mizzou's, right? Well, I mean, it shows what I know. Hendon Hooker looked great in the game. Tennessee runs for 458 yards, so it doesn't really matter. I think it tells you a lot about Mizzou's defense. It tells you a lot about, you know, Mizzou having to fire its defensive line coach a couple of days after the game. So obviously things over there are not great for that bunch right now. With Eli Drinkwitz and Steve Wilks and that bunch, they're struggling, but I think you got to give Tennessee some credit. You know, I think Tennessee, for nothing else, I think you have to credit Tennessee's defense for the way it played against what I think is a pretty decent Mizzou offense. So, yeah, they put the whole thing together there for a day, and it was sort of took your breath away a little bit. It's the kind of performance Tennessee hadn't had in a long time.
So, to me, Wes, one, this means this team is going to be bowl eligible. I mean, I know maybe I'm just overreacting right away, but I'll say it. I think they're going to thump South Carolina Saturday, and you got Vandy and South Alabama on the schedule. So I'm already jumping way ahead.
Oh boy,
based on this, I know. But I think that Ole Miss game could be fun, could be possibly interesting. First of all, how big of a deal do you think that is? For them to, you know, at least get to six this year in the bigger picture of the program. And also, by the way, do you think that will matter in the end?
That's a good question there at the end. I'm not really sure about that. But, you know, I'll have to wait and see like everyone else will. But in terms of getting to six, yeah, I mean, that would be huge for this program. That was sort of the marker I set down going into the season was, can they get to six? If they can get to six, then in theory, you know, they would get the 15 extra practices. But more than that, they would be able to get the opportunity to really get better as a team and for them to kind of steady the ship as a program. And, you know, but Tennessee, before you can really kind of swim, Tennessee needs to, you know, sort of stay up right now, right? Just stay buoyant, you know, just figure out a way to keep going, you know. And so I think that would be huge for this program. And like you said, I mean, now, you know, nothing's ever going to go the way it did last Saturday where everything goes well at the right time. But now you're talking about a deal where, you know, that Ole Miss game could get kind of crazy, right? And then you look at Kentucky and you say, well, Kentucky's been pretty good this year, but does Kentucky want to get in any game where it becomes a shootout? That's not Kentucky's game, and that's not going to be comfortable for them. So, yeah, a lot of things suddenly feel like they're – at least possible, you know. I mean, obviously, Bama and Georgia do not, but just about anything else, you go, weird things have happened.
Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Wes, I think pretty unquestionably, Hendon Hooker is now the guy at quarterback, and Josh Heupel naming him as the starting quarterback yesterday in his press conference. What's impressed you the most about how Hendon Hooker has come in here and taken over the job from Joe Milton?
You know, it's interesting. He's doing a lot of the same stuff he did at Virginia Tech, which is, you know, I still question if they absolutely have to put a game on his right arm late. I don't know that I feel great about that. But everything else about the position, I think he does pretty well. And I think he makes good decisions on when to throw and when to run, which is important in an offense like this. I think he gets the call quickly. I think he's been efficient with the ball. You know, last week they really reduced their receiver rotation. I mean, they did not target a lot of guys, but the guys they did were the guys they trust, and those guys made plays for him. And I think he's showing a little bit more accuracy on that deep ball, certainly than Joe Milton was showing earlier this season, and more so than I thought he would. I think when you are in a position as a defense where you have to respect the run, Hendon Hooker becomes a really, really good quarterback, because that's when the entire playbook is open to him and he can do a lot of damage. When the score and the timing just dictate that he has to throw it, that's where I'm not as comfortable. But in any other situation, I think he's a pretty darn good quarterback.
So is Jeremy Banks a good linebacker now?
I tell you, you know, there's times where you watch Jeremy Banks and you remember why, and you think about all the linebackers that Jeremy Pruitt has coached over the years and all the good ones. And when he said that guy could be as good as any linebacker I've ever coached, you know, there are times where you watch him and you go, oh, that makes sense that he said that. But, you know, then there's just that thing in the back of your mind of, when's the 15-yard penalty coming? When's the 15-yard penalty coming? And when he doesn't do that, he's a pretty solid player. He just has to avoid that sort of boneheaded mistake that he makes from time to time, which is difficult when you play the game the way he plays it, you know, kind of on the edge all the time. You're going to fall over from time to time. But, man, when he doesn't, he's a pretty solid player.
So, Wes, Tyon Evans on Saturday, obviously a phenomenal game, 3 touchdowns, 150 yards on the ground. He could have ran for probably 300 in that game if they really wanted to. I guess what impresses you the most about what they have at the running back position? And, you know, obviously 458 yards is not going to happen every week, but how confident are you now based on what we've seen thus far this season in this Tennessee running game and their ability to continue to be productive in SEC play?
You know, Tyon Evans, I was telling somebody the other day that it feels nice. The past few years, you know, there have been times where we've watched preseason camp and said, you know, this guy could be a pretty good player or that guy could be a pretty good player. A lot of times that worked out that way. Tyon Evans is a case where it's like, okay, we called that one right. So good for us, right? You know, we didn't get everybody's hopes up for no reason. The way he gets up to top speed as quickly as he does, because he's pretty fast. He's not a pure burner, but he's pretty darn fast. I mean, you go 92 yards in the SEC, you're pretty fast, right? But the way that he's able to get his acceleration, and I'll tell you, his power is really, really impressive. Sorry, guys. There's Gus wishing everybody a good morning.
Good morning, Gus. What's up, Gus?
Yeah. Thanks, Gus. But the way that he gets up to top speed as quickly as he does, the way that he, you know, kind of really shows that power to everyone, that he's really, really big in the lower half. He's a big, big guy. He doesn't look it, but you see him walking around in shorts, you're like, are you wearing football pads all the time? I mean, that's how big the guy's lower half is. And at the point of impact, he is a really, really strong guy. So he's a guy who, you know, I think Jabari Small, if they can get him healthy or keep him healthy enough, they really, really like him too. But Evans is a guy to me that ever since he stepped on campus, I've been like, look out for that guy.
So, Wes, I have been hearing some, you know, concern, I'd say, about Josh Heupel's recruiting for this class. How would you characterize it at this point? And does just one Saturday like that give it any kind of bump?
It could give it a little bump, especially for some offensive players. You know, I don't think that in the situation Tennessee's in right now, with as much as easy as it is to negatively recruit against Tennessee until they hear back from the NCAA something official, that's just going to be an issue, right? I think in the long run, Heupel's offense will sort of recruit itself. That doesn't mean that this staff can be lazy, but that means that certainly that they're going to have a chance with some kids because of the nature of the way they play the game. You know, you look at Heupel press conferences and you go, well, the guy's just not smashing that one out of the park. But, you know, that's just not his personality. But the way that it sells itself is with the product on the field. That's what does the recruiting for them right now, or what should. And they're going to have to identify some guys at first. I mean, that's going to be the key for a couple years probably, is they're not going to be recruiting the way that Alabama and Georgia are. And to be candid, I don't think they're going to recruit the way that Tennessee did for most of the time Jeremy Pruitt was there. Not at first, just because that's a bit of a challenge right now for many reasons. But they're going to have to take guys. They're going to have to be really, really smart in their evaluations. They're going to have to get those right. And they're going to have to plug guys into this system that can go out there and improve and get the performance they want. Because the way they play the game, you can get a slightly different player than a lot of the other guys are focusing on because of the things they value on offense. So they can work around that. It's just a matter of, can they be that efficient? Because if they can be efficient on the trail the first couple of years, that should help them for down the road when they can get maybe the bigger guys again.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Wes, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Absolutely. Yep. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. We'll come back. We'll react to what Wes had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Vols as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including one aspect of this Vols team that I think is night and day different from a year ago. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, I'm watching this Tennessee game unfold on Saturday, and obviously the offense gets a lot of the headline. You run for 458 yards, you put up 62 points. That's going to be the story, and certainly they played well. I thought the defense played really well, as we talked about yesterday. But there's one part of this Vols team that I think has made a huge difference so far that is, to me, night and day different from Jeremy Pruitt's staff to this Josh Heupel staff. And you could, I mean, there are a lot of things that are different that you can point to. Obviously, the offense and the way they just operate is a complete 180 than what they did under Jeremy Pruitt, and that's obvious. But the pushback in this team and the compete level, the fight in this team, to me, is totally different than it was a year ago. I mean, this defense, and I thought you made an excellent point on this yesterday, this Tennessee defense is not really all that talented. They've got some guys. I mean, Tyler Barron's a good player. You know, Byron Young's a good player. Alante Taylor's an experienced guy in the secondary. They've got some good players. Theo Jackson's been unbelievable so far this year. But by and large, this is not really all that talented of a defense. And yet, they just go out there and they compete their butt off and they play. And I think we saw that on Saturday. You know, this team last year, it felt like, after the Georgia game and the way it went down in the second half, they totally folded up and were done. And they did not recover after the Georgia game. It's like they had zero response when something bad happened to them. And I just don't feel that way. I mean, you lose 38-14. You played well against Florida in the first half. And then you come out and you just don't have enough in the second half. You don't make plays that are available to you. And to me, if that happened to this group last year, I mean, they'd just be roasted from then on. And they came out, and I get it. Missouri, they're not good. But this team just totally kicked Missouri's butt on Saturday. I think the compete level and how Josh Heupel has been able to get this team very early into his tenure to not just fold up when bad things happen, I think that speaks very well of him. And that's totally different about this group from a year ago.
I agree. I also remember Jeremy Pruitt taking that team that was dead after that loss to Florida, after the loss to Georgia State, after blowing the game to BYU, and yep, going on a run and fighting and competing and Similar things were said then, you know? So it's like, it's just caution for me on.
Right. I'm not ready to anoint Josh Heupel yet.
Yeah. No, I know you're not. I agree, though, that last year, like the Georgia game, it's amazing to think that, you know, they're in Athens and it's like, wow, they actually might win at Georgia.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, they didn't come close to it. And that was, it kind of sent them spiraling. I suppose you could look at last year, like even I think back to like after all the losing and stuff, they go into Auburn and actually should have won that game. And then, you know, you have a bad big six. I mean,
yep.
Quarterback play / offensive design, play calling, all that stuff betrayed. So I don't think they just totally packed up in the season. They still beat Vanderbilt by 25. You know, there's still guys on that team, which I know is achievement, especially last year. But I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
there are guys that kept playing and fighting and had pride and all that stuff. But I would agree that right now it does look better. I think that there's always some kind of a, unless the coach is terrible, there's always some kind of a first-year coach bump that I think a team gets. Especially, you know, you've got some – well, you got some people who, when a new coach comes in, who are just out of there, and a whole bunch of guys are in that category. But the people who stay, the veterans, look, I mean, I remember talking to Jacob Warren. I know it's just like media day talking stuff, but, I mean, that guy in particular – and some of the other guys, like on media day, were like, yeah, basically, to paraphrase, like, we like these coaches way better. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt didn't treat people well in a lot of cases. There's no doubt about that. And that was broadcast before he ever coached a game for Tennessee, right? So, I mean, I think, like, there's something to, like, treating people well,
yeah,
which seems to be something that Josh Heupel does better than Jeremy Pruitt. And I feel like Tim Banks deserves some credit too. It seems like he's really done a good job of getting the most out of what he has. He has a bottom third of the SEC defense in terms of talent. Is that fair to say?
I would say so.
Right,
yeah.
Right? It's certainly better than a few teams, but it's way behind a lot of the, and look, we're gonna see this in some, we saw it a little bit eventually at Florida. We're gonna see it in a couple Saturdays here coming up. But I think that he's really got them playing fast and playing with great energy and effort. And that was kind of the underrated part of Saturday for me, was that I just really like how they compete. And that's actually a good thing they face. Like, that's a good offense, good quarterback.
Yep.
You know, Missouri's defense is trash, okay?
Awful.
But Tennessee's defense did a pretty darn good job against a legit O.
The Kentucky fans are out on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dwight texting in. I remember a day when Tennessee was talking about national titles, not a win over Missouri being big. I think UT fans kind of know how UK fans have felt for a bunch of years with those kinds of expectations.
Wow.
Yep.
You're bringing all these Kentucky fans over to the text line, Michelle.
Listen, they're a great team to love. Look at the program, though. I mean, like, you want to support them, right? See another team, like, do good in the SEC.
Tennessee fans don't.
No.
Robbie's looking at me Michelle, stop. Stop it. Nope.
I mean, in all seriousness, Kentucky, if Kentucky's coming into your state and taking the top kids that you want,
Kentucky's on the rise, Tennessee's on the fall.
Wow.
I don't know if Tennessee's on fall.
Yeah,
like, they kind of hit the floor.
They're plateau.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been planking for a while, man.
Marty, Kentucky fan, texting in. Robbie and Joe, you laughed at Michelle and I when we predicted our game win. Are you still laughing? This coming from Marty. Did we laugh at y'all?
Well, you.
I mean, I kind of
saw. Lock.
You put lock on Florida.
I did lock Florida.
I don't know that I laughed. I might have laughed. It's possible. I thought they had a shot because Kentucky. Like, I think Kentucky has a shot. They don't have a shot against Georgia.
No.
But, you know, Stoops has done an incredible job. Incredible job. No question. Now, the difference between Kentucky and Tennessee, and maybe it's changing, maybe all these years of being competitive are going to change it, but, like, there's still a way higher ceiling for Tennessee. Yeah, there just is. I mean, the resources, the fan base, all of it. The facilities, there's a big difference between the two. That's why if you're a Tennessee fan, you're just like, how are you here and they're there? But that's what a great coach will do.
Well, it's also what stability does.
Yes.
And Mark Stoops has been there for a long time. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about Josh Heupel, and look, I'll say I feel a little bit better about Josh Heupel than I did than when he was hired. But this is I think, an important process if you're Tennessee to have some stability and get this thing back to where, you know, it's stable again. This has not been a stable job for a long time. And Butch Jones had a modicum of stability there for a while, and then that changed in a hurry for Butch Jones. But other than that, there's really not been a stable head coach since Philip Fulmer was the coach. And, you know, I'm not saying that you just hold on to coaches for the sake of holding on to it, because I think that's a very bad way to operate. But how long has Mark Stoops been there now? He's doing a pretty good job building that program.
Yeah. And, well, and that's where it also – I mean, it helps to take something over that's just not good,
just
and
terrible.
Hasn't been good. Right. I mean, because now you're going to have time. I mean, it's kind of like – I mean, I think Clark Lea at Vanderbilt, I don't care what happens the rest of the year, no one, or next year, honestly, he's going to get the time because everybody knows what he has inherited. And then at some point, you know, we'll see. Derek Mason got a ton of years there, even after the guy before him won a lot, and he had, you know, 2 6-win seasons. So it's the thing with Tennessee is I wonder now the way people view Tennessee and the way things have changed for Tennessee. Would Butch Jones absolutely be on the outs in 2021, 2022 with the same situation as he was in 2017?
Probably not.
Right? Now, that may not be good because, to your point, well, you don't just have stability for the sake of stability.
It's not going well for him so far, by the way, at Arkansas State.
No. Not first year.
It is. They are getting crushed on a weekly basis.
Hey, the bricks are just on it's that first
foundational row. Bricks That's have right. been laid. Ricky on the text line. There are Kentucky football fans now? Never knew this. They're all basketball fans rooting for the football team because they're good.
If you're a Kentucky fan, aren't you a Kentucky fan, period?
Yes.
Aren't you a Kentucky fan of volleyball and soccer and
golf?
Hey,
our volleyball team just won the national championship.
There you go.
I mean, right? So I don't think – now, the problem is when you get to the Kentucky basketball, who's also the Alabama football fan?
And we've met some on our text line.
Okay, that's just wild.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
I mean, I know people who are Michigan football and Michigan State basketball fans. Like, no, you can't do that.
No, that doesn't work. Nope.
You can't do that.
Rainey texting in. Don't get cocky, Michelle. You're still Kentucky.
Ooh.
There's a nice Tennessee fan response there. I like that one.
I don't get when people are like, it's Kentucky. Like, am I supposed to be insulted? Because I embrace that. I love Kentucky. Okay, it's Kentucky. We're doing great right now.
That was a very nice smackdown of you. On the text line, sir.
It was. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols when we come back, including what have we liked, what have we not liked about Josh Heupel and this staff so far through 5 games. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This Game of the Week this Sunday is Cleveland Browns taking on the L.A. Chargers. Kickoff is set for 3:05. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a text that says, Tennessee fans shouldn't be mad after all. Tennessee is just a basketball school. LOL.
Ooh.
Wow. Ooh. Lots of shade on the text line right now.
Now you know how we feel when people call us just a basketball school. A
lot of shade on. I think that was more of a shot at the football program.
Yes. Yes. But Tennessee, first of all, Tennessee's. Jake, sorry. Women's basketball for Tennessee, one of the top two programs in the history of that sport. Although, I guess at some point
they're gonna have to get back to.
At some point, it could be like UConn and everybody else. But I mean, right now it's Tennessee, UConn, everybody else. I don't know when someone else will rise up to be the two.
Stanford.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Stanford compared to
what UT did. Pat
now,
Summit.
But it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a long time. But men's basketball, very good. Also, you know,
can't wait for the tournament this year. It's going to be great.
That's when you'll pay attention.
Well, no, I'll pay attention before then. I'm just
you're already the
track record for Rick Barnes does not get me excited for the tournament.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the tournament.
That's fair.
There you two are again, sneaking college basketball talking.
I got to see college basketball yesterday. It was great.
That's right. You saw what, Vandy and I've TSU opened the door. Pro Day?
I did. It was great to just sit there and watch some basketball.
That's right.
So quickly, since we're talking hoops.
Oh,
now,
boy. What have we done here?
The freshman for Vanderbilt, real quick scouting report.
He looked really good. I would say he was the best in their 230 shooting drill. Nice three-pointer. Lefty.
Oh, a little lefty action.
A little lefty action.
And this is, for the record, this is, I'm now losing the name.
Gabe, right?
Yeah, yeah. Gabe Dorsey. Yeah.
Yep, Gabe Dorsey. Yeah.
All right, so there you
looked
go.
Looked good. Looked
Gabe
good
Dorsey
out there.
Looked good. There you go.
Thank you.
There's some basketball for you, Robbie.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome,
that.
Rob.
Thank you. So, Joe, what have we liked? What have we not liked about Josh Heupel thus far? What has impressed you the most about Heupel through five games as Tennessee's head coach?
Oh, easily the offense and the design, the plays, the fact that he gets people open, and just that the tempo is like legit tempo, you know? And this is a lot of people run, quote-unquote, this offense, and then they get to line. And granted, there's still a reason to do it. You make it tough on the defensive sub. They try to sub. You take the snap. Or, you know, I mean, you put the defense in a bind. But a lot of them, you know, they go no huddle. Then they stand there. Then the quarterback looks to the sideline. And then with 4 seconds on the play clock, they snap the ball. When this team wants to go fast, it's like what I've seen before with Baylor and some of the other ones who were sort of at the four, you know, even Mike Leach's like Texas Tech team and stuff, you know, like it's legit fast. But I just think Josh Heupel has a great feel for just this offense and play calling and all that stuff. So that's by far what I've been most impressed with.
Yep. You know, the play calling has been really good. And even in times and situations where the execution's not been there, pretty much for the most part this year, he's done a really good job calling plays. So I've been impressed by that. What have we not liked about Josh Heupel? Because the way I'm going with that, I've liked a lot of what I've seen on the field. I just talked about, you know, defensively. We just know there's not much depth. There's not really all that much talent defensively. I think they've played well in spurts. Now, they're going to give up some points this year. I mean, Tim Banks has done a good job. I mean, they're about to run into a part of their schedule. When you're playing the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Ole Misses of the world, this defense is going to give up some points, and I don't think there's any way around that. So you know that going into it, but I like a lot of what I've seen from Tim Banks. Really, the one part that is concerning to me about Heupel that has been a concern ever since he was hired, and I don't know if you can even fairly judge it right now, is the recruiting. Is recruiting going to get better? It's not gone all that well for Josh Heupel and the Vols thus far. I think we knew that was probably going to be the case based on everything that surrounded this Tennessee program. Look, it's very easy to negatively recruit Tennessee, not only with just the NCAA stuff going on, but just look at Tennessee the last 10 to 12 years. It's not been the same program that most people are accustomed to seeing. And quite frankly, the kids that you're recruiting nowadays, they have no concept of what it means for Tennessee football to be the Tennessee football that Vols fans love. So, and the recruiting going not that well so far doesn't really surprise me. I guess my question is, based on what he shows the rest of this year, particularly on offense, how much can you change that if you're Josh Heupel? Because at some point, that's going to have to change if you're going to be competitive. If you're going to continue to sustain, you know, whatever offense you want to throw out there. I think there's a certain level of Josh Heupel and his track record says they're always going to have a certain level of production on offense based on, you know, the way his career has gone so far. Recruiting is the next step for him, and I don't know that we can fairly judge Josh Heupel and his recruiting as of yet.
We can't, but I am concerned about it, and
yep,
that's exactly what my answer is too. I mean, there's really nothing on the field that's, like, surprisingly bad. You know, I haven't liked a couple of the time clock management situations from him.
Their special teams are unbelievable. Like, their special teams have been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like, the D's been, to me, has overachieved. It'll have some tough days. But I am concerned about the recruiting. I have no doubt that there's negative recruiting around the NCAA situation, but like we did the, you know, the recruiting confidential thing with coaches in the state, David Ubben and I did, and there was a lot with those coaches, and again, they were anonymous, and they teed off on a number of things. They were kind of like, nah, it hasn't really been a big thing. I mean, look, especially with the way things are, the way the NCAA has been weakened and the way I think a lot of things are being deregulated. I think most people think this is going to be – maybe it'll be a postseason ban, some scholarships, some recruiting restrictions where coaches – but I don't think there's this big, like, realistic, reasonable expectation that they're just going to get hammered over this thing. So I understand, yeah, there's some negative recruiting, but I don't think that that's some overwhelming factor. I mean, Wes Rucker is talking earlier on the show, like, you know, in a couple of years when they can get the big guys. Well, I've never heard that about Tennessee before. I've never heard anyone say, I mean, look, Pruitt came in, get the big guys.
Right
now.
But doesn't that tell you more about where the program is right now? Not with the NCAA stuff, but just where the football program itself is right now.
It does. Yeah, I'm not saying that's a reflection on Heupel, but I'm concerned about if that's true, okay, then where's your roster in a couple of years? And then there is legit, I think, concern about him as a great recruiter.
Yep.
I mean, there hasn't been a ton of evidence that he is one. Now, I think he seems like someone who's good to play for and guys like playing for him and being in the building on that stuff. But is he good enough at convincing guys that they should come play for him?
Well, and it's also your staff too, right? Like, you, if you're not a great recruiter, and to your point, I mean, there's not much evidence that suggests that Heupel is like this recruiting master out there. If you're not a great recruiter, you need people on your staff to be a great recruiter. And I don't know, we're going to find out about this staff and how equipped they are to do that. But that's the name of the game in college football. You got to be able to recruit.
Right. So I agree with what Wes said about, I just can't imagine that they're not going to bring guys to play in this offense. In that stadium, with those facilities, in this league, I can't believe it. I can't believe that they can't get some top guys on that side of the ball. What can they do on the defensive side of the ball? Can they get to, you know, become more of a legit SEC-level defense in future classes? Because I still think it's on the table that you're talking about a lot of like 7-5 type teams that get into a lot of shootouts at this point.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew from Dover texting in. As an Alabama football fan and Kentucky basketball fan, I can say I did cheer on Kentucky versus Florida, but the worst thing Kentucky fans could have said afterwards was, we want Alabama. Trust me, you do not want us in football.
No, we don't.
Are you talking to yourself when you say that?
I don't know.
You do not want us in football.
The angel on the right shoulder, the devil on the left shoulder.
Amazing. Should be like it's like a Cowboys / Lakers fan or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Or like any team that's winning fan.
Pretty well, right. Or popular or winning / winning.
Yeah. Every year it switches.
It's fun stuff. When we come back. It's been an interesting week for Urban Meyer as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had a press conference yesterday regarding the viral video that went out over the weekend with Urban Meyer in a bar. We'll get to some of that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on November the 3rd? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Daughtry. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com. Once again, that's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October the 11th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Going to be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get hot and heavy into the Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, it's been an interesting weekend for Urban Meyer. Obviously, the viral video coming out of Urban Meyer in a bar somewhere, I guess in Columbus, Ohio. He had his Ohio State garb on in the videos and pictures that were taken. And He was with some young woman that was not his wife, and it was an interesting set of videos that have come out, to say the least.
Well, you show me the other one.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff from Urban Meyer. And naturally, Urban Meyer returned to work yesterday down in Jacksonville. And given what went on this weekend, it was a very interesting press conference from Urban Meyer. Here's some of what Urban Meyer had to say yesterday at his Monday press conference down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it, and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
Urban, did you fly back with the team, or did you stay in?
No, I stayed to see the grandkids, and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant, and then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on the dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left.
How did the team react? I mean, they're reactionary, or, you know, how did they take it, your apology?
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen. And I just... So the team, I spoke to a bunch of leaders one-on-one, spoke to all the players. They're good. They were focused on Tennessee, and I apologized again for being a distraction. And a coach should not be a distraction.
How about your family? Did you feel a need to apologize to your family?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, that's not me, and that's, they were upset.
So that was Urban Meyer yesterday at his press conference. Obviously, that's going to be the story all week for Jacksonville and Urban Meyer and what went down over the weekend in the bar. I mean, I've got a couple of takeaways from that. Number one, we talked about this a little bit earlier. How are the players going to respond to what is going to be a distraction? I mean, whenever Trevor Lawrence speaks to the media, he's going to be asked about this. This is going to be a talking point all week, and obviously this has been everywhere on social media. So how do you respond to this if you're a player? But number two, like, does Urban Meyer think that we're stupid and we can't see what happened in this video? Because, you know, he tried to make it sound like there that, you know, they just called me over to take some pictures and tried to get me out on the dance floor and I should have left. They're just screwing around. It's a little bit more than that was going on in the videos that have come out, Urban.
Trying to force my hand to go places it shouldn't go, ever. Yeah, like that.
Does he think the videos, like, don't exist? Or, man, I'm very confused by that response.
I mean, like, I can't even. Whew. I really, like, honestly, I said it earlier on the show. Like, you know, everybody's wanting Urban to fail, and it's all been goofy. He's doing some dumb college stuff and bad hires. But I'm like, yeah, he might turn. But this actually makes me think he might be just an idiot. I don't know.
The worst part is the family, like, you find out on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's it. Like, and that's the thing I don't really get, right? So you've got the videos that we see and the pictures that have been taken. And then Urban Meyer is talking about how he's out, you know, he's taking the grandkids to dinner. And then I guess he just rolled on over. After that was over,
they started to come take some pictures and have nine beers and, you know, and grope a young woman. I they're making me do this stuff. I don't know.
Not good stuff. Dude, this has been a total disaster for Urban Meyer to begin.
That, I mean, seriously, like that, the other video you showed me, which I can't believe it's not like every other tweet right now. Maybe it's because Twitter went down yesterday along with Instagram and Facebook. Boy, that's a tough one, man. That's I don't even know. So I'm trying to think, one, what is the exact correct question to ask Mike Vrabel to get him to address this?
I don't know.
I think Jim Wyatt should go ahead and just
start thinking just of that one.
And end the presser with that, Jim. Jim tried to get the Brady Belichick.
Oh, we saw.
Friday, yeah.
It doesn't affect me.
Vrabel was all in on that.
Yeah, he was.
So, I mean, you know, Vrabel knows Columbus well. He's got to be some way. He worked for Urban. I'm sure he'd love to, like, weigh in on this whole situation.
Yeah, sure. He's really looking forward to that.
Do you think Coach is focused about the game. You could say that. How do you think Coach is prepping for the game with all this going on?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll say this: if I was Urban Meyer,
even more interesting week.
If I was Urban Meyer, I'd be watching more film this week than I've ever watched in my entire life. Number one, to just do something else. But number two, you better come out and have a good game plan if you want some of this to go away.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
There's no better way to deal with this than beating the Titans, I guess. You know, Lindsey Jones wrote a column on this at The Athletic, and I guess I hadn't thought of it this way, but I hadn't thought it was that big of a deal to not fly back, but she was like it's absolute, like, coaches in this league on Thursday night game, they are breaking down the film on Friday.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, I guess in my mind it's like, well, you can still have like your normal game week, but the norm is that you would knock out the review stuff early, and then you have, you know, a day or two off, which is fine. Then you have your normal week with a little bit of a head start because you don't have to do the review stuff, or at least like your side of it. Well, so he was like, nah, I'm going to the bar, man.
Well,
see,
especially when you're 0-4, like, you should probably be doing everything you could do to, you know, maybe try to win a few here or there.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question is, does this have any sort of, well, as the Titans are concerned, does this have any sort of negative effect on the team this week, which is already a bad team?
I mean, maybe. I mean, look, it can't be good. Like, this is not a good thing for the team. Is it going to affect what they do on the field? I don't know. Probably not, would be my guess. But, I mean, it's just one more thing where, and Orlovsky brought this up yesterday on ESPN, like, if you're a player in that locker room and Urban Meyer and the staff are talking to you about accountability and not putting yourself in bad situations, and, you know, there is still a pandemic going on, and trying to be as smart as you can about that stuff. Like, if you're a player, how do you kind of listen to anything Urban Meyer has to say right now? It'd be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlovsky went as far as to say, I would not want that guy to be my head coach any longer. Now, are players in the locker room going to feel that way? I don't know about that. But
if they think he's a crappy coach, yes.
Right.
If they think he's a good coach, then they don't care about this.
Right.
If they think he's a crappy coach, then this is a good reason to – one more good reason to, you know, to not listen to him.
I just wonder what's going through Shad Khan's mind right now when he sees all this stuff. They're 0-4 and his coach is out making news in ways you don't want to see your coach making news.
So what was – recently someone was like, yeah, Urban's going to – he's going to be out this – oh, it was the USC stuff, which was never there was never anything. I mean, I get the speculation, but there was never anything to that.
Maybe he puts himself in the hat now. Who knows?
Like this one – now I think anything's on the table.
Yeah.
Like, because here's what could happen next is additional reporting around this situation, which sometimes unearths interesting things. We'll see. But, I mean, I would bet that this is not the last we hear about that night.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Heck of a start for Urban Meyer with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joe, very quickly, because we didn't talk about this yesterday, another big story in the NFL right now that made Broncos head coach Vic Fangio very upset. The Ravens are up 23-7 in the fourth quarter on Sunday. All you need to do is take a knee and the game's going to be over and you go back to your locker room and that's that. Well, instead of doing that, Lamar Jackson runs out to the left. There's this wall of blockers in front of him. He gets a 4-yard gain and then slides, takes the knee, to preserve the consecutive games with a 100-yard rush streak for Baltimore. And they're, you know, at some absurd number. I don't even remember what the number is. But John Harbaugh coming out after the game saying, you know, getting to 100 yards is very important for his team, very important to that locker room, and that's why they did it. Vic Fangio, not a fan of the Ravens doing that. There's been a lot of reaction to that on ESPN, on social media the last couple of days. What are your thoughts on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens getting 4 yards and then taking it to the house instead of just taking the knee?
I mean, Vic Fangio's making this like a player safety thing. You know, that, I liked Harbaugh's response. Well, then when it's a 23-7 game and there's absolutely no chance that you could win, why are you running football plays and throwing the end zone? People could get hurt on that. Game's over.
Yeah.
Hey, man, tackle somebody or shut up. I think Vic Fangio looks like an idiot here. Hey, it matters to the Ravens. I mean, I understand some people like this. This is sort of like an artificial continuation of the streak, right?
Right.
Because it's just a kneel down. So I get that. I mean, it's kind of like your guy Brett Favre just falling down so Michael Strahan can get the sack record, you know, which was not cool. But ultimately, it matters to them. They got it. If you don't like it, tackle somebody.
I don't have a huge problem with it. I will say it looks pretty stupid if you're John Harbaugh, if you run Lamar Jackson out to the left and he takes a shot to the head and then he's out for 2 weeks. Like, how important is your rushing record then? Now, there were five guys in front of Lamar Jackson, so, and he smartly got down when he got the required yardage. So there wasn't a huge risk on that play, but if you do that and somebody gets hurt, then you look pretty stupid as a head coach. That's the only issue I have with it.
That's a good point. Maybe give it to one of your, whatever your number five running back, whoever you're down to at this point, and let Lamar block for him. I don't know.
Or just roll out and get out of the way. One, two. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get into the Titans, the loss against the Jets, and how they respond from here with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.